A will allows you to determine exactly where your assets will go after you die, usually. However, that wasn't the case with one British man who left money to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Birds. Well, no doubt that was supposed to read the protection of birds, but the point is a will can eliminate legal pitfalls and provide peace of mind for your heirs if you spell everything correctly. Today, host Rob West chats about that with our good friend and money expert Ron Blue. Then it's your calls on anything at 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The importance of having a will next right here on MoneyWise Live. And Rob, our guest Ron Blue is the co-founder of Kingdom Advisors, a frequent speaker on all things financial, and most important for today's topic, he's the author of the book Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives.
That's right, Steve, and nobody better to talk about the importance of wealth transfer, estate planning, and this particular topic of wills, making your final wishes known. Ron, great to have you back with us on MoneyWise Live.
Well, as always, I'm looking forward to it. Rob and Steve, you guys are good, so thanks for having me.
We always enjoy it. And, you know, this is really an important topic. We'll get into really the stark statistics that tell us how many people don't have a will and why this is so important. But why don't we start today? I know you once counseled, Ron, a young widow whose predicament really underscored the need to prepare wisely for the future. Why don't you begin today by telling us that story?
Well, it was a lady that had been married a number of years and had she and her husband had two daughters, and he had a business. And she knew nothing about the business and just was never, ever involved. And so after his death, they were reading the will in the attorney's office. Turned out the business was worth several million dollars, and it had all been left in trust with the bank controlling the assets and the daughters, the trustee. The widow was provided for if she needed some income, but before she could get anything out of that trust, she had to get permission from her daughters. Mm. Well, that was a devastating thing for her, but it illustrated kind of a problem that is not at all uncommon, and that is that very little communication between husband and wife in the preparation of a will. And it's doing a will is a process, and it's a process that should occur more than once over a married life, for sure. But that was a really devastating situation for that lady. She was in tears as she told me the story, but there wasn't one thing that could be done about it. Her wow. husband had done it well from a legal standpoint, terrible from a family standpoint.
Well, and that's such a big part of this, Ron, because as you talk about, wealth transfer is so much bigger than just the legal strategies and tools. Those really are just the implementation of your plans, well thought out, God-directed plans, and in the context of really effective communication, because if you lack any of that, the potential relational collateral damage is significant, right?
Oh, it sure is. And you know, and it's something that changes over time also. Judy and I have been married 55 years now, and I don't know how many times we've done our will or redone our wills, but yeah. Circumstances have changed multiple times in our married life due to the ages and circumstances of our children. So if you don't plan, you leave the disposition of an estate and the guardianship of children and many, many things to the courts, who have no vested interest whatsoever in seeing that your wills, your will, no pun intended, is is exercised the way you would like it to be.
Yeah, exactly right. We've got just about 30 seconds left. We're going to head to a break. Ron, I know you know the statistics well, and that is, well, one study recently said nearly half of Americans over the age of 55 haven't drawn one up. And so when we come back to after this short break, we're going to talk about why perhaps that might be. But we'll also go over the benefits of having a will. We'll talk about who should have one and get to your questions as well. So if you have a question on wealth transfer or wills, things like that for Ron Blue today, he's going to stick around and answer those.
Yeah, end-of-life choices and decisions, get it in writing. We'll talk some about that, and we'll take some of your calls, too, 800-525-7000. Open lines, 800-525-7000.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
I was on a plane yesterday, and just as we started the descent, it happened. It always happened. The baby started screaming. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Have you ever noticed that? I really feel for them. The pressure changes, their ears hurt, and they scream. There's a simple solution, of course. If only they kept sucking on their dummies, the pressure would equalize, and the pain would be gone. But the more you try and help, the more they scream. Whenever the pressure changes, it hurts. Not air pressure. Life's pressures. They're all around us. Work, family, money, health, relationships. You name it. And when the pressure changes, it hurts. And when it hurts, we scream. Sometimes on the outside, sometimes on the inside. Now there's a simple solution. Jesus. When He whispers in our hearts, when He touches us where it hurts, wow. He knows how to ease the pain. But sometimes the more He tries to help, the more we scream.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Happy to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live, where we do our very best every day to remember that God owns it all. However, we are managers. The Bible says we are stewards, same word essentially, meaning that it's always His stuff that He allows us to manage for Him while we're here. Now, you can also do a little bit of management for when you're not here, because leaving it all behind is the last great financial decision you'll probably make with what God's blessed you with. And that includes what you leave behind to your heirs. Is it just your children? Might it be other children out, you know, an extended family? What about charities? What about church? What about your children? Should you leave the same amounts to each child, or do you take a different approach depending on the situation your children are in? All of that and much more today if you'd like to speak with Ron Blue and Rob West on MoneyWise Live. And here's our phone number, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000.
Ron, Steve was talking about something that's very important, and that is that, you know, a will is really your last stewardship decision, the passing of God's money to the next steward, which really makes this as much a spiritual decision as anything else. Isn't that true?
Oh, it sure is. And Rob, you know, you and I both know that the first decision that needs to be made and the most life-changing decision is to decide that God owns it all. Now, yeah. You can decide to recognize that or not. In fact, it is. He does own it all. And once you make that decision, now you're a manager of his resources. And so I like to think that the second question is, how much does he want me to keep? Not how much does he want me to give, but how much does he want me to keep? And those that are fortunate enough to earn amounts of money more than what they need, I think they do so and have the opportunity to give. But the last decision that you get to make is choosing the next steward. If you believe God owns it all, then you're a steward, and you are stewarding the assets by passing them on to the next steward. And the question is, who is that, and are they well prepared? And that's one of those really huge areas that very rarely gets done well.
Yeah. Well, that's why I so appreciate the work that you did on splitting heirs years ago, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, really helping folks think through from a biblical perspective the principles behind how you effectively pass God's resources to the next steward. Ron, we were talking about this recent study that said nearly half of Americans over the age of 55 don't have a will. Perhaps the reason, one reason that is many of those folks think, well, that's for folks who have a lot more than I do. I don't really need a will. Maybe I don't have enough for it. And yet, that couldn't be further from the truth. Share with us just a few of the benefits and really reasons why everyone needs a will.
Well, you need a will when you're young in your married life, because you need to determine who's going to be the guardian of your children if, unfortunately, both of you would die. Yeah. You need to know the special circumstances that your children, your heirs will face. You need to make a decision whether you want to include charitable giving in your estate planning. And, you know, you may not have a lot of investable assets, but almost everybody should have some life insurance. So they're going to have an estate. And so if you don't make the decisions as to who gets what, when, and how, then somebody else who does not have your heart necessarily is going to be making those decisions. And I think one of the biggest decisions that gets passed over almost 100% of the time is no charitable giving in your will. It's just rare to see charitable giving in a will. So many decisions other than the money side are impacted by what you put in your will. I remember when my mother-in-law died and we were having the reading of the will, two of her three children, my wife had two brothers, neither one were saved, neither one were married at the time, and her personal testimony was in the will, and her desire for her sons to come to know Jesus as their Savior. And that was, oh my goodness, that's been 30 years ago now. But both of them have come to Christ. And it was very clear as to what she wanted. And that had nothing to do with money. That had everything to do with eternity. Mm-hmm. So many things in your will that you need to know and you need to talk about, and husband and wives need to talk about that together.
That's certainly true. Well, if you'd like to talk about these things today with Rob West and Ron Blue, now's a great time to call, 800-525-7000. Let's begin by going to Macon, Georgia. Jennifer, what's your question? How can we help you? Hi, Jen, are you there?
I'm Amy.
Oh.
I'm not
sorry.
Jennifer, I'm Amy.
All right, Amy. Are you from Macon, Georgia? Are you from Macon?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got that.
Not
right.
Originally, but currently. And my husband and I are only married. We're in our 60s, and we're only married 8 years. We have combined adult children and grandchildren. But even though we have to redo our will, since we moved to a different state, we were in another state, and we're wondering who should be in charge of it, because the adult children are not necessarily living a strong Christian life, okay? And maybe we don't want to necessarily burden one or even two of them because they don't even know each other very well, the adult children, you know what I mean? So what's the best way to handle it? We did, because we have a good church that we found the last couple years here, we did meet an attorney, and him and his wife do handle wills. Mm-hmm. And we thought about, you know, should we get them involved and let them be the ones to handle it like a trust?
Yeah, great question. Good Ron, questions, obviously a complex situation. Blended family. We've got kids, some of which maybe all don't know the Lord, don't know each other well. What are some principles that you might share with Amy, to help her process this?
Well, I would, maybe the easiest way to begin this was to take each one of the children and ask the question, if we left them and whatever the amount is, let's say that you decide you're going to leave all of your wealth to your children and you're going to divide it equally. If you left that amount to a child, what's the worst thing that can happen? And then the second question is, what's the likelihood or probability of that occurring? And lastly is, how serious is this? And remember, come back to what Rob asked earlier, and that is, you're a steward of God's resources. I believe that in many cases where you have unbelieving children, it's very reasonable to think about leaving your money to charity. You know, as you get older, your children become more independent, and so it's not necessarily the money that's going to help them anymore. They need their help maybe in their 30s and 40s, more so than they do in their 50s and 60s. And so as they, I know what's happened with Judy and I, the older we've gotten, the less our children need, because they've already provided for college education for our grandchildren. They bought their homes, and leaving money to them might be nice, but it's not necessary for their well-being. So we're really planning on giving almost all of ours away at death. We've told them that, our children. So I do think you need some good Christian counsel as to how to deal with this. Because you can't answer this question without gathering a few more facts. And so if you've got an attorney at your church that you have some confidence in, it doesn't necessarily make them good just because they happen to go to church, but do they have the wisdom that they can help you think through the issues with your children? And I would suggest that you're not going to get a quick answer. I think this is going to take a lot of conversation over some time, and I would look for wise people to give you counsel. Mm-hmm. You might find a Christian financial advisor or a Christian attorney who can not necessarily tell you what to do, but to ask you the right questions, because only you can decide what to do, and your advisors need to be such that they will ask you the right questions to cause you to think rightly in making these decisions. It's very, very complex, and you're wise to even begin now by asking the question, what should we do?
That's a great question, Amy. Thanks for that counsel, Ron. And let me just direct you, Amy, to moneywiselive.org. Click on Find a CKA. That's a certified kingdom advisor. You can find a CKA, not only who's a financial planner, but an estate planning attorney there in Macon to perhaps help you navigate this. And Ron, after the break, I'd like to unpack a little bit of what you just said. You know, you brought up something really important, and that is asking the question, what's the worst thing that can happen if I leave the money to this particular family member? And what you're driving at there is really the fact that if we leave money in the wrong situation where the next steward is not prepared, not only could it become problematic financially, but also spiritually, which should be a part of the equation. So we'll unpack that right around the corner.
That's right. Ron Blue with us today. We're blessed to have him with us, sharing his wisdom, his knowledge from his book, Splitting Heirs. There are chapters on transfer, treatment, timing, the titling decision, and the big talk that you need to have with your loved ones before it all comes together. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, "Now the Lord is spirit." Now where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All right, work with me here, work with me here. Did any of you see The Aviator about Howard Hughes? I'm not recommending it. I want to be clear about that. It has terrible language in it. If you didn't see it, you probably know the Howard Hughes story and his just bondage to OCD. How many of us watched that thing left there and went, you know what, I'm 2 inches from that. That could have been me. I'm telling you, everything anybody ever tells me of a stronghold they've been in, I go, you know, I was almost in that one myself. Yeah, I was almost in that one myself. I'm just going, oh, that would have been me. That would have been everything I see. I've been in such a pit in my life that everything I see, and so I'm thinking, because I am that way about my keys. You know what I'm saying? And I'm real funny about when I leave a public restroom, I think, I just washed my hands. Now, why do I want to touch that knob? You know what I'm saying? I'm just this far. Without the Holy Spirit, I would be him. I would be him. My coworkers and I tease about it. I do this all the time. OCD. OCD. I'll go, I'm doing that again. OCD. OCD. I'll even get obsessive about how I'm going to do OCD. Anyway, it's just pitiful. Just pitiful. And do not write me this week and go, you know, there are people that really have it. I'm saying I nearly have it.
Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. Or go to bethmoore.org/donate. That's bethmoore.org/donate.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
You know, the Bible says a lot about eternity, and one aspect of that is leaving it behind, and we will all leave it behind. So today, the vital importance of having a will and what all that involves. And here to give us wisdom on that is not only our host, Rob West, but also our good friend, Ron Blue. And we're taking your calls at 800-525-7000. Rob?
Ron, just before the break, you brought up a really interesting question that you encouraged Amy to ask as she was considering her own estate plans and wealth transfer decisions, and that is, by leaving the money to this particular heir, and she would ask this question multiple times, obviously, with a big family, what's the worst thing that could happen? And what you're driving at is that there are financial consequences to leaving money, but there perhaps are also spiritual consequences. How do you wrestle through that as you consider the possible outcomes of leaving money to a steward who's perhaps in some cases prepared or in other cases ill-prepared?
Well, this is really difficult. And I would say, first of all, you need God's wisdom in these decisions. So you make a lot of you do a lot of this thinking on your knees. Yeah. And it takes a while to process all of the implications. But if you don't ask the right questions, you'll never get the right answer. So Judy and I went through a process, and one of the things that we decided was that because we love our children equally, and we have five of them, we will treat them uniquely. And the reason for that is that each one of these children are in different life stages and have different circumstances in their life. And God treats every one of his children equally, and he loves them uniquely, but he loves them all equally.
Yeah.
So in thinking about passing on wealth, think about each of these children as unique individuals, and don't start out with the assumption that I've got to treat everybody equally. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't, but if you don't ask the question as to whether or not there are unique circumstances, you'll never get the right answer. We had a single mom for 6 years that we treated specially, and our kids knew that, and we've counseled them that because we love you equally, if you have a need, we'll help. But that doesn't mean that we're going to do something equal for your siblings.
Yeah, good point, Ron. Thanks. Let's take another call. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Let's see, Grand Rapids, Michigan, WGNB. And Adam, what's on your mind today?
Well, here's my setup. I'm recently divorced as of 3.5 years ago, so needless to say, I'm leaving nothing behind for my spouse because she had left me. And I'm accumulating quite a bit in assets right now. I own 5 houses, and my immediate family members, such as my brother, sister, mother, and father, they claim to be Christian, but their habits say otherwise.
Mm. All right, Adam, so I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, with a little bit of time left, so your question is, what do you do? How do you manage this?
Right, because I'm 34 years old right now, so let's say I live another 20 years. Needless to say, I'm probably going to have considerably more in assets than I do now. I'm probably going to have several $1 million in assets, and with the way my immediate family is, it's going to be a warfare.
Yeah, all right. Good question. Let's do this. Hang on the line, Adam. We'll get Ron to weigh in right around the corner. It's a great question.
Yeah, we certainly don't want any warfare, Adam. So let's see if we can get beyond that a little bit, see what God has in mind, if that's not too presumptuous. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live, and we'll be right back after this.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Psalm 91, 14 through 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm 91, 14 through 16, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
I grew up in a Christian home.
But that didn't stop Ronald Clay from trying to rob a Brinks truck. In prison, Ronald learned his father had died.
It was out of nowhere that it happened. It just broke me.
Hopeless, Ronald yielded his life to Christ and turned to Moody Radio for spiritual growth. Today, he's at Moody Theological Seminary.
My goal is to be used in whatever way that he would have me used.
Read Ronald's story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Minnesota Attorney General Ellison says arrest warrants have been issued for three officers that have been newly charged in George Floyd's death. The three stood by while Officer Derek Chauvin pinned Floyd's neck against the street. The charges will be aiding and abetting second-degree murder. Chauvin, initially charged with third-degree murder, has now been charged with second-degree murder. The Senate Judiciary Committee has begun its hearings on an alleged FBI effort to derail the Trump campaign in 2016. Day one of the hearings featuring testimony from former Assistant Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. U.S. businesses lost 2.8 million jobs in May, significantly less than the 9.3 million job losses that were expected. Stocks closing higher, the Dow gained 527 points, the NASDAQ was up 74. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise, MoneyWise Live, if you will. Ron Blue, our guest today, and we're discussing the whole concept of leaving it behind. And what does it mean to leave it behind? Who gets what? How do you work through those choices and decisions? And just before the break, we were talking with Adam Guise, and he's been divorced for about 3.5 years. The rest of his family say they're Christians. He doesn't see it in their lives necessarily. He just wants to be a good steward. What do you think?
Yeah, Ron, any thoughts or principles you might share with Adam on this?
Yeah, I would. I tell people typically, don't necessarily think out 20 years. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 years. Write your will as if you were going to die soon. What would you do right now? Because that's you only know what you know right now. But be willing to revisit it every couple of years. And circumstances change, so can your will change. But think, what would I do right now if I died? Yes. That's the important thing I would tell Adam. Don't know what's going to happen in 20 years.
Yeah. Make it a matter of prayer, Adam. We appreciate you holding and calling today. Ron, we talked about this, the importance of really talking through and perhaps making your wishes known, perhaps sharing the key pieces of your will with your family ahead of time to avoid unnecessary, infighting or problems in relationships that can be caused through lack of communication. What principles might you share about how much to share or not share with your heirs prior to death?
Well, it depends on the age of the heirs. When they're young, they're not going to understand. So you probably have guardians for your children. But as they reach their 20s and they begin to they can understand, you begin to share principles and values with them. You don't necessarily have to share the numbers. But if you're a believer, you share how strongly you feel about the stewardship aspect of what you're doing. What I say, you don't want to create a coping gap. You don't want your kids to hear for the first time what your desires were after you're dead. Talk to them while you're still alive so that they can ask you questions about it. Yes. And again, it doesn't have to be dollars. It can be values and principles and processes, and let them know that things change also, that they're not set in concrete. So, and it's best as they get into their 20s and 30s and 40s that they do this together. I've been in many family conferences, and in some cases, it's the first time the family's been together in years, and that's not an easy situation to have a conversation on a will.
Sure.
when they don't even talk to one another.
Yes.
So I really recommend a family conference periodically with your children.
Very good. Ron, another difficult situation we hear from folks with questions on often, and that is a second marriage. Let's say both Husband and wife have children from a previous marriage. They're bringing assets to the table, perhaps on both sides or one side and not the other, and just wanting to think about a God-honoring way to approach that in terms of their wealth transfer plans. How would you counsel that situation?
Well, I would counsel that I was counseled against a prenuptial agreement, but in a second marriage, I would recommend a prenuptial agreement. The assets were accumulated in one family or in two different families, and probably you're going to want to handle the situation individually with those families rather than jointly. Both Judy's father died and my mother died, and both of our parents got remarried, and they had prenuptial agreements so that the kids didn't share with the other side, if you will, in terms of things that were left. So once again, communication is really important, and a conversation with even the kids, letting them know. Yeah. It can be really, really sticky when you have a second marriage. Therefore, you better have real conversation before that and write it out and communicate it well with the heirs.
That's good thinking, Ron. Let's take one more call before the next break. West Palm Beach, Gina, thank you so much for your patience. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm by myself, and I just have people that I know, friends and whatnot, and I would like to give to those, and I'd also like to give to all the programming from radio station of Moody. So, and I don't know if all of Moody, you know, like John MacArthur or David Jeremiah or Tony Evans, are they all with Moody and all that? So I would like to give, even to you guys, you're included in it. And so I want to give to everyone who speaks on the radio.
Yeah.
I listen to you guys all the time. So that, and then I want to give to animal clinics and the Smile program, Mercy Chip. I want to give a lot more than what I have, I can tell you that.
All right, so how does she give more than she has?
Let them sell everything and divvy it out? What do I do?
Yeah. Well, Gina, I'll tell you, I appreciate so much your heart, and I'd love for you to have a godly estate planning attorney to help you make sure that exactly what you want to do is documented appropriately and according to the laws of your state there in Florida so that your wishes are carried out. And we can get your information and have somebody from the Moody Radio team in that particular department call you back and talk to you about how you can make sure that particular portion of your estate desires are carried out. But having a godly estate planning attorney is really a key part of that, and you can find someone there in West Palm if you don't already have one at moneywiselive.org. Just click Find a CKA, and then again, if you'll hold on the line after this, we'll make sure that somebody reaches out to you. But Ron, any thoughts you have on for Gina? And by the way, I love that this really illustrates the opportunity to do giving at death, and in her case, perhaps with a significant portion, if not all, of what God has entrusted to her.
Well, may her tribe increase is what I would say. But and secondly, it's not the amount. God's got all the resources he needs. It's the heart. And so to give whatever she's going to give with the attitude she's got, God's going to honor that in a big way. I need to be next to her when we get to heaven.
Mm. Is there is there a tool or a plan, Ron, that you like to help people who want to give to multiple ministries, things like that?
No, not really. I think God gives us different relationships and different blessings in our life. So for her thinking, she's been blessed by the radio and certain ministries of the radio. Mm-hmm. I think she's thinking well. She's giving to where she has been blessed, and that's what I think God would have us to do. Sure. So, may her tribe increase.
That's exactly right.
A good way.
Ron, just about a minute left. We so appreciate your wisdom and counsel on this topic today. This is so important. As we said, it's the last stewardship decision you'll make. And so part of being faithful in your stewardship is giving careful thought and prayer to these very issues. In our final remaining seconds here, what concluding remarks do you have for us?
Well, just remember that God's got the wisdom. You don't have the wisdom necessarily. So if you're not making these decisions on your knees with godly counsel, you're going to be confused and perhaps even fearful. There are some really good advisors all over the country that can help you think through your situation. They're not going to tell you what to do, but they're going to ask you the question so that you can decide what to do, and they're going to ask you the right question.
That's exactly right. Thanks, Ron, for being with us.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. As a Christian, you're part of a family that's fully engaged in a team sport with the prize of the high calling hanging in the balance. This is ultimate fighting on steroids because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against your adversary, the devil, who's competing for the soul of every person God's placed under your influence. Most importantly, you're either all in or all out on this one. God doesn't hire part-time employees. You don't choose your own hours when you're working for God. If you're serving God, you're full-time all the time, meaning every waking moment of your life, you're fully engaged in representing the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Even when you least expect it, expect God to use you to move someone closer to Him. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone, every day, closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Survey 100 people, and most will say they believe in God. Maybe not in the same way, but there is a basic belief. It's an important admission, but it's not enough. If God is real, then we don't have creative license to make God whatever we choose. God's reality won't change according to our perception. God will remain the same no matter what we think. The real question, what is God really like? Some will say, it's not what you believe, it's how much you believe it. Well, a wise man once said, strong faith in a weak plank will get you wet, but weak faith in a strong plank will get you across the river. Jesus Christ spoke about faith and said we only need faith the size of a small seed. It's not how strong our faith is, but where our faith is placed. Friends may say they believe in God, but what kind of God? What do they really believe? Why do they believe it? Make them think about truth. Then tell them the truth found in Jesus Christ.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
So, what financial situation are you dealing with right now? Does it involve your job? Does it involve credit or saving or giving or housing, maybe buying insurance? Maybe it has something to do with investing, which is the case right now with Steve calling from Green Bay, Wisconsin. What's up, Steve?
Hey, this is Steve. I'll make this quick as I can here. I have a son who, due to the COVID crisis, was out of school for quite a while, and he got a job right away working 40 hours a week, so he's got some extra cash flowing in. He paid all of his small bills off to his family, and he's got a little bit of a savings account and a checking account. So he wants to know what to do with the rest of his cash. He'd like to invest it. He doesn't want to do it into a 401k or an IRA yet. He says by the time he gets it back, you know, at 18 years old, when you're 70, it seems like you're almost dead at that point, he said. So he's looking at something like, he's looking at 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, you know, what kind of stocks or bonds or where would you direct him to put it in? He doesn't want to be able to pull it out tomorrow, but he doesn't want to wait, you know, 50 years.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, a couple of thoughts, and one that I love that he's thinking this way. He's obviously a young guy. You've taught him well, and he's thinking about his financial future. I really want to prioritize his growth and understanding in God's way of handling money. You know, there's 2,300 verses on money and possessions in the Bible, and the quicker we begin to understand what's on the heart of God related to how we handle that which we're going to live on, that which we're going to give, how we handle the O portion of our resources, and that which we want to grow or invest or save, and really apply biblical principles to all of those is critical, because it helps us to really understand that money is a tool, that it ultimately is all owned by God. It's not an end in and of itself. It's really a means to an end, and that end ultimately should be something other than you. And that's when money is most enjoyable, when we get to participate in God's activity. Well, all of those ideas, starting with God owning it all, is really the foundation for wise money management, according to the timeless truth found in God's Word. And so when you're done here today, hang on the line. I'll get your information. I'd like to send you a copy of Ron Blue's book, Master Your Money. He was just on with us a moment ago. It's a great primer on biblical money management in all areas. I'd love for you to give that to him as a gift and ask him to read that. Perhaps you guys even take it a chapter at a time and do it together. So that's number one. I think number two is having the right understanding of investing. Certainly investing is supported in Scripture. As stewards, we should seek a return on God's money, and we see that in the parable of the talents and other places as well. But we also need to apply the right principles to that, including being well diversified. So we wouldn't want him to do anything that causes him to be highly concentrated in one particular stock or something like that. We also want him to have the right time horizon. So what I would say is anything that's less than 5 years in terms of his thinking, I would take investing off the table, because at that point, he's really just trying to kind of time the market or capture short-term moves in the market. And if he needs it for a specific purpose in a period of less than 5 years, he may find that he has to sell it at an inopportune time and perhaps take a loss. So I would try to get him to think in at least a five-year increment, if not 5 to 10 years, in terms of money that he's putting in the market, because really, the quicker he can begin to process and understand this idea of investing for the long term, as opposed to any kind of short term investing that's ultimately trading or short term thinking, I think is the right direction for him to go. Now, with the money that's longer term, perhaps the best way for him to go would be some of these newer type robo advisors that are very easy to use. They're app driven or web based. You can get very broad diversification using indexed exchange traded funds, where you capture kind of the overall moves of the market at a very low cost. So some of those would be Wealthfront, Betterment would be another one. And then a third that I like is the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Basically, he would open an account. It would be a taxable account because he doesn't want it in an IRA. He'd answer some questions, and then it would build a very low-cost, highly diversified portfolio using ETFs for him, and then he could just systematically make deposits into those accounts every month. Does that all make sense to you, though?
It does. It makes a lot of sense, and it'll be great for him to hear what you said, and then that book's going to point me in the right direction. He took the Financial Peace University, and that's what kind of spearheaded
this. Great.
And got him all excited.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Love it. Well, hang on the line. We'll get your information. We'll get Master Your Money right out to you.
We appreciate that call, Steve. Thanks very much. You know, Rob, I, at that very age, ended up with a small settlement because I was injured on my part-time job. And I took the small settlement, being the wise 18-year-old I was, and invested it all in two stocks, a hamburger restaurant franchise and a pre-built home franchise that a friend of a friend of a friend told me about that was a sure thing. And within 3 years, I had lost every penny of it. So sometimes at 18, even losing it all isn't the worst thing in the world, because you come away with some great knowledge. Just a thought.
That's totally true.
Richard's in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Hi, Rich. What's your situation there?
Well, I was listening to your show for quite a long time, and sometimes I don't hear it every day. And one of the things I've heard a lot about is this check, stimulus check coming. When's mine coming? And I was thinking the same thing myself. And before I go too much further, I want to give a shout out to our local radio station, WPFG FM, that carries your show at 91.3.
Yeah.
You guys are a great show to have on there, and it's great to hear you. I kept getting this, you kept hearing you guys talk about this, and I might have missed a show where you mentioned this, or maybe not. But last week, I got not a check in the mail, but a Visa card, a debit card. And when I first saw it, I thought it was a scam of some kind. I thought, well, this is a scam. They're just sending this stuff. Somebody's trying to get me to use this, because I read through this stuff, and even though it looked very official, there's charges on the back if you use it at an ATM machine, and you know, the wrong ATM machine, and all this. And I'm thinking, up to $10,000 on this card. Well, that's ridiculous. This can't be real. And so I'm just wondering if some of the people out there who keep asking for a check may have gotten a card and not realized, hey, this is their stimulus money coming on a Visa card versus on a check that they're waiting for.
And
I was kind of, you know, I keep hearing people say check. I haven't gotten my check, but I was thinking the same thing. Every one of my friends told me, oh, I got my check and deposited, or I got mine directly put into my account. And I'm thinking, well, when's mine coming? And then I get this, and I was a little skeptical.
Well, a couple of thoughts on that, Richard. First of all, I appreciate you raising this point, because it is something that folks need to be aware of. This is, in fact, the way the Treasury Department is handling the stimulus payments for millions of Americans. It's a card issued by MetaBank, M-E-T-A, and it's for anybody whose tax return was sent through or processed through Austin, Texas, or Andover, Massachusetts, and where they didn't provide the banking information for the direct deposit. It's a pretty effective way to go, because you can transfer the funds to a bank, you can withdraw it from an ATM, they'll issue a check, you can even make purchases against it. But it's something that is unexpected, and as you said, folks in some cases might even throw it out without realizing what it is. So it's an important opportunity for awareness. I will say, if you have mistakenly thrown away your stimulus debit card, or you think you might have, you can get a replacement by calling 800-240-8100. That's 800-240-8100, or go to a website, get ready, eipcard.com, eipcard.com. Replacing that card is free, but there may be a shipping charge.
Richard, we appreciate your phone call today, and a lot of people were listening right now, and they probably came away with some great information, some great advice. You're not the first person we've had call in about that. Thank you very much. Quickly, Barrington, Illinois. Austin, we have about 90 seconds. What's the situation you're dealing with?
Yes, hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
So, I'm just trying to figure out how to establish credit. I'm a 26-year-old kid, man, whatever. And so I don't have a credit card, never had a credit card, but my credit score is pretty low. And I'm just trying to figure out how to apply for a credit card so I can boost my credit score.
Yeah. Well, Austin, a couple of things on that. Number one, really important that you start with, and maybe you already have, having a family budget or a spending plan for yourself, where you've documented and perhaps tracked over 30 or 60 days everything you're spending, discretionary and fixed, but also those non-recurring expenses, things that come up quarterly or semi-annually, so that you have a plan, because you don't want a credit card unless you're going to only use it for budgeted items, because it can be a source of funds allowing you to spend beyond your means outside of God's provision, and that's going to lead to debt. So we don't want that. So you've got to have a budget. You've got to demonstrate that you can live on it, track it, use an app, use an Excel, use an envelope system, whatever it takes. But then if you want to get a credit card, it will help you build your credit, again, as long as you use it wisely, pay it off every month. One way to start is, if you don't have the credit score to justify the card, or you just want to be a bit safer in terms of your own use of it, you can get what's called a secured credit card. You just go into your local bank, tell them you want a secured card. You put a certain amount on deposit, let's say $300. They'll give you that amount in credit against the card, so you can use it throughout the month. And when you pay it back, it becomes available again, but you can't spend beyond it. But the good news is that'll be reported to the credit bureau each month with you as an on-time payer, and that's going to start to build your credit. If you do go with a traditional unsecured credit card, just make sure you have a systematic recurring budgeted item charged to it every month, pay it off on time, and you'll find that credit score will improve in no time.
Austin, we appreciate that call. Thank you very much, and the very best to you as you finally pick up a credit card at some point. And again, we pray that you'll use it wisely. Thank you very much. And with that, Rob, we're pretty much out of time. We've kind of covered the waterfront today. A lot of great information from our guest, Ron Blue. Again, the title of his book is Splitting Heirs, and you'll find his book easily available when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. And if you have not yet made a gift this year to our ministry, MoneyWise Media, we'd ask you to consider that. Then click the Donate tab at the top of the page. Again, you'll find all that at moneywiselive.org. My thanks to Deb, Jim, Aaron for their technical expertise today. Not to forget Courtney Young as well, traveling in from her abode in the burbs.